And tonight, part three, if you turn with me to Esther chapter 2, I want to read a couple of verses there, and then we're going to turn to chapter 6. Esther chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 22 and 23. Sorry, we'll read verse 21. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Turn with me now to chapter 6. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honour and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him." And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said unto him, "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honour?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to do honour more than to myself?" And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honour, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honour, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honour.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken." Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, "Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honour." And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But Haman hasted to his house mourning, and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, "If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him." And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains, and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. And we'll finish there. Sometimes things always aren't as they seem. And I'm sure as we recount this wee story, some of you will smile and you will recognize yourselves in this. But there are times when things seem that everything's fine and all right, and yet bubbling under the surface, something's going on and something's happening. And for all of you who have kids or grandkids, you'll understand this. If you're sitting in the house and the kids are playing in another room and all of a sudden everything goes quiet. Well, you know, everything's not as it seems to be. There's normally something going on. And most of the time, we'll get up and we'll go and see what they're at. You never leave a house with kids in it that's dead quiet. You always go and investigate and see what they're at. And I know whenever Kathy was small, and I've warned her I'm going to tell this story so she'll not be too embarrassed. But when Kathy was small, she used to go in. She had an awful fascination with the toilet. And all the time, if Kathy was away playing and she got quiet, you knew the first place to look was the bathroom. She would be in the bathroom. And this is not an exaggeration. I had that toilet bowl unbolted and taken out more times than enough, because Kathy would flush dolls' heads or parts of dolls down, and they'd go round and get trapped in the S-bend, and I couldn't get them out. I had to dismantle the toilet to take them out. But the worst time was one time we went into the bathroom, and it was just all you could see was like a cloud of dust. And she'd got one of those giant Johnson's baby powders, and of course it had to be a brand new full one. And she'd taken it and she had poured it into the toilet. Well, I'm not joking you, it caked like cement in the bottom of the bowl. And I had to take the toilet out again and get it cleaned up. So when all goes quiet, things aren't always what they seem to be. And we have to be aware that all the time in our lives, sometimes there are things going on that aren't what they seem to be. At this time in the kingdom of Persia, Mordecai and all the Jews were under threat by this guy Haman. And it looked to all intents and purposes that there was coming a day that they were all going to be put to death. That Haman had won a victory over the Jews. That Haman had gone to the king, he'd got permission. We talked about this last week, where he'd got permission from the king to put to death all the Jews on a given day. But you know, everything isn't always as it seems to be. And maybe you're going through a situation now, and I want you to leave here tonight thinking that everything just isn't as it seems to be. Because God is working on our behalf in the background. There are things going on that we know absolutely nothing about, and yet God is doing them. This passage of Scripture in chapter 6, the first verse, starts with the words, "On that night." What night? Chapter 5 that we looked at last week, it was the night that Haman had built the gallows. It was the night that Haman had said within himself, "I'm going to build a gallows 75 foot high," and he couldn't settle, and he gave the command, and the gallows was built that very evening. It was a night when Esther had planned again to have a banquet the next day for her husband, the king, and for Haman. And you know, mentioned last week about God's timing and God's timing being perfect. And why did Esther not go straight away and tell the king what was happening? But it says here, "On that night." You see, that was God's timing. It had to be that night. It says the king couldn't sleep. Queer coincidence that the king couldn't sleep. Some coincidence that the king happened to send for the chronicles of all the records of what had been happening in his kingdom and get the chamberlains to read this to him. And you know, it was another queer coincidence that they happened to open up the book of the records and read the part where Mordecai had saved the king's life by telling him of the plot against his life by these two guys. No coincidence at all. I don't believe in coincidence. God's hand was in it all. God knew exactly what he was doing, and it was on that night that he kept the king awake. The king couldn't sleep, and he must have been trying to get bored to tears and get back to sleep again when he got them to read the book of the Chronicles, because it was the king had been as king for 12 years. And there had been some amount of stuff contained in these books of Chronicles that happened in his kingdom and all the different records. And the king, as he's listening to this stuff being read out, all of a sudden he stops these boys and he says, "This guy Mordecai, he saved my life. What's been done to honor this man?" And they say, "Well, there's nothing has been done." And immediately the king gets the idea to honor this man, Mordecai. You know, when things seem bad, when things seem as if they can't get any worse, and you think your whole world's falling down around you and everything's going to collapse, be assured of this. God is working in the background on your behalf. And I want to share a wee bit of personal testimony tonight, because I believe the Word of God says that we overcome by our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And I want to share a bit of personal testimony about an instance that happened in our lives as a family. Some of you may have heard this before. If you have, it'll do you no harm to hear it again. But just to encourage everyone how that God works things out and that God is in control. Our eldest girl, Lara, got into a relationship with a guy, and we knew that the relationship was wrong. Just knew in our spirits, and just in case the family ever get hold of this tape or Andrea ever listens to this, I have nothing personal, and I say that from my heart, I have nothing personal against the family, and I had nothing personal against Andrew, but I knew in my spirit that it was wrong, that God was not in this. The guy was still married at the time. He was going through process of a divorce, but he was still married. The Word of God teaches strongly on that. And just on that point, I want to say that when I finish this series on Esther, I want to take a few weeks. I want to speak on what the Bible says about sex, what the Bible says about marriage, what the Bible says about divorce and remarriage. And when we're dealing with the first issue, we'll make sure that there's someone to do stuff with the kids outside. But I want to deal with those issues because I feel they're important issues. I feel that they're things that we need to deal with, that the Word of God deals with them, and we shouldn't just bypass them because they're awkward. So we'll look at those. But she got involved with this guy, and at the start just said they were friends and all the rest, but as parents, you know, and there was more than a friendship going on. And we talked to her, then I set the two of them down, I talked to the two of them, and I told them that I felt this was wrong, it wasn't the will of God, but they continued to go with one another anyway, and eventually he got divorced, and the two of them planned on getting married. And I still knew it was wrong. I just felt in my spirit that this wasn't the person for her. And we prayed about the situation. And she went with him for 4 years. Now, 4 years is a long time as a parent when you know that the situation is wrong. But in that 4 years, I can honestly say that in all that time, I trusted God. And I knew that God was working in the background, and we sang it there tonight, that all things work together for good, and that God does work. You know, and I've spoke a lot on that when I was dealing with Joseph, that was the thing, but I just want you to get this, that God is working all the time on our behalf. God's favor is on our lives. We talk a lot here about God's favor. God's favor is on our lives, and no matter how things seem, God is always working on our behalf in the background. 6 weeks before the wedding was taking place, I sat my daughter and this fella down, had a conversation with the two of them again, told them that I would give her away at the wedding, that everything that needed done I would do, but that I couldn't give him a blessing because I felt that it was wrong. Now, as a father, that's a hard thing to do with your daughter. But I done that, and I spoke to him, and I said, "This is the last time that I will be saying anything to the two of you. If you have this decision made, this is what you are going to do. I'm stepping back, and I just let God deal with it. So 3 days before the wedding, one of our neighbours, who's Christian, come down. She knew the family, and she knew our thoughts on the thing, and she just says to me, "Stephen, you're going to have to let go of this. You're going to have to accept the fact that she's getting married and that there's not a thing that you can do about it." And I said, "But there is. She's not married yet, and I still trust God." And she says, "Well," she says, "leaving it a bit late." And I says, "Well, my God's faithful, and my God may leave it what we think late, but God's always on time." And folks, God is always on time. The night before the wedding, or the day before the wedding, we were in town picking up last minute bits and pieces. Daughter Lara just didn't seem herself. And I said in a joke, "No, Lara, it's not too late to call this off." And she just burst into tears. And I knew then that there was something going on. We went up to the church that night to set up stuff in the church, and we come home, and she was in the house with him and his parents, and there was an argument going on, and she just said, "I'm not getting married." And the long and the short of it is this, that she didn't marry the guy, that she called the wedding off the night before. And I know that it was God's hand, and she's married to a godly guy today, who loves her, who treats her well, and who respects her. And she has the life that I believe God wants for her. So God was working in the background. God was doing his part, and all he asked of us is that we trust, that we don't fear. I know what it is to be in those type of situations where the devil is just constantly chipping and chipping and chipping and saying, "This isn't going to happen, and that's not going to happen." It doesn't matter what circumstances say. It doesn't matter what your neighbors say. It doesn't matter what your family says. It doesn't matter what the devil says in your ear. The only thing that matters is what you believe the Word of God says and the promises that you stand on. And if you stand firm in the Word of God, God is faithful to his promises, and he comes through. And I thank God today. You know, it was like a week in our house for 3 or 4 days after that. But eventually, when Lara came to her senses and she realized, and she'll tell you today, it was the best decision that ever she made, that she was glad that God led her that way, and that she found out before it was too late. So God's always in the background, working on our behalf. And here we find in this story that things aren't really as they seem, because the Jews are facing what it seems to be certain death. This death sentence has been put upon them. But Esther had fasted along with her maids and along with Mordecai and other Jews. They had fasted and had prayed and had sought God. And Esther was being led by the Spirit of God to hold these banquets. She had held one. We looked last week at how Haman had went home, and he had boasted of all that had been done for him and his promotion, and how he had been asked to this banquet and everything that was going great for him in his life. And he was a proud man and just boastful in himself. And yet God was working and moving and going to make sure that Haman wasn't going to get his way. And here we see the king is kept awake that night, and it's God who keeps the king awake. It's God who puts it on his heart to go or to send for these chronicles of what's going on. And it's God who makes sure that when they open the book, they open it at the pages that tells of Mordecai and the great deed that he had done in saving the king's life. When I was thinking of that and Mordecai, I was thinking too that there are many times that we do things. There are many times that we do a lot of things, even in church or for God, and it seems to go unnoticed. We never get thanked for it. We never, nobody ever comes to us and say, that was a good job you done, thank you for doing that. But you know something? It doesn't really matter whether people come to thank you or not. Because at the end of the day, it says that God never forgets. I want to read a verse here in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And you know, even though we do things and they may go unnoticed by men, God's not unrighteous that he'll forget our works, and he'll reward those works. And don't ever let the devil make you think you're doing all this. And many of you have ever thought to yourselves, this is a thankless task. You know, doing all this and get no thanks for it. To be truthful, if we're doing it to get thanks, we're doing it for the wrong reason in the first place. We're doing it as unto God. And anything that we do should be unto God. But God doesn't forget the things that we do for him. God wants to reward us. And God wants to bless us. And he'll never forget. So if you're involved in a work for God and it seems thankless, it seems nobody taking notice, don't worry about it. God's taking notice and God will take care of it and God will reward it. Mordecai had told the king or sent word through Esther to the king how these two guys had plotted to kill him, and he had been able to save the king's life. And at that point in time he received no reward. This particular passage that we've read tonight is 5 years after that first event. 5 years have passed. Mordecai, by this stage, had probably forgotten about it, wasn't expecting any kind of reward, wasn't given any thought to it. And all of a sudden, the king reads or has read to him this passage. And you can see the hand of God at work right through this whole story of Esther. And I said the first week that God's name is never mentioned right throughout the book of Esther. But on every page you can see the hand of God. You can see God at work. You can see what God is doing. You can see God moving. Just want to say tonight, when everything seems lost, never give up. When everything seems lost, never give up. You know, if Mordecai had just said, that's it, I'm throwing in the towel. Haman, he's in power, he's second in command to the king. What chance have I? And just threw in the towel and give everything up, they would have been defeated. But Mordecai had sent word to Esther to say, you know, maybe you've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this, and he didn't throw in the towel. He was willing to fight back. Why? Because he knew God was on his side. And when God's for us, who can be against us? He knew that God was working on the behalf of the Jews. He sat at the king's gate. If you read through this book, you'll see that Mordecai didn't sit in fear. Mordecai sat at the king's gate, and Mordecai understood what it was to trust in God. And he had fasted and he had prayed along with the rest of them. And his expectation was that God was going to move and God was going to do something, because he told Esther, if you don't do it, he says, we will be delivered by another source. There's something else will happen to deliver us. But he says, now's your chance. You go and do it. You go and speak up. So when all seems lost, never give up. God's timing is perfect. God knows exactly when things need to happen. Said last week about how Esther could have rushed in. She had her chance when she went before the king. She could have said, look, king, Haman is doing all of this stuff, and he's brought this petition against the Jews, and he wants them killed, and I'm a Jew, and my people are Jews, and you need to do something about Haman. But she didn't rush in because she had waited on God, and she knew that God was speaking to her and God was leading her. She had thrown this banquet. Haman had went home gloating and all full of himself, and he had built this hangman's gallows, 50 cubits high, which was 75 feet high. And he thought that this was great. He couldn't sleep that night, because it says here is when the king is getting these things read to him, the king wants to know what could be done for the man that had saved his life. And he asked, who's out in the court? And Haman, he had walked into the court at this stage. Now, the king was not particularly looking for Haman. He asked who was in the courtyard, who was out there. He wanted some advice. He wanted to talk to someone. He wanted someone to tell him what things could be done to honor the man that had saved his life. And again, it was no coincidence that it happened to be Haman that was in the courtyard. And he was there, probably it was the middle of the night. He couldn't settle himself. He couldn't wait to get to the king and ask the king's permission to hang Mordecai. Never be in a rush to go and do evil. It'll backfire. And you know, it was backfiring badly on Haman. Haman had went early in the middle of the night. He was prepared to wait till the king got up. He wanted to be there first thing to get speaking to the king. And all of a sudden the king's saying, who's out in the courtyard? And it's Haman. And he says, bring him in, I want to talk to him. And you can just imagine Haman's thoughts. Haman had been gloating that day about just how much had been done for him, and about coming into the queen's banquet, only him and the king, and how much he had been blessed. And things, he's probably thinking at this stage, this could not be going any better for me. Things could not be going any better. Here I'm coming to see the king, and I'm prepared to wait, and now at this hour of the morning, he's sent for me. He says, this couldn't work out any better. And he goes in, and he's still full of himself. And there's a warning against pride in this. He's so full of himself that when the king asks him, what's to be done to the man that I desire or I would delight in to honor? And he thinks to himself, well, who else would the king want to delight in, only me? And you see, people that's filled with pride, that's all they think about is me, me, me. And we all know people that we talk to, and no matter what conversation your conversation is, they always manage to spin it round to themselves. Always turn the conversation to themselves. It's all about me, me, me. And you'll say to them about such and such, and, oh, I was like that the other day, and they tell you a whole tale of woe, and you're sorry you opened your mouth. But people that are full of pride will always talk about themselves. And you know, as God's people, the one we should be talking about is Jesus. The one we should be exalting and lifting up in our lives is Jesus. You know, and when God does something good for us, give the glory to him. You know, when men praise us for doing something good, yes, take the praise, but give it back to God. Make sure God gets the glory, because it's God who is at work in our lives. It's God who's bringing about all of these things. You know, and God is concerned. You know, many of you, well, I'm sure you've all heard the saying, the devil's in the detail. Well, I think that's a lie. I think God's in the detail. And it is God who oversees every detail that goes on concerning us. It's God who takes care of the things. It was God who was taking care of the king that night and making sure that he was awake. It was God who made sure that the books were open and read, and it was God who brought the passage about Mordecai out. God is in the detail. God is the one who makes sure that all those wee small fine details fall into place, and that he works his plan and his will through those things. And Haman's full of pride, and Haman thinks, oh, great, the king, he wants to honor me. He wants people to see just how great I am. And Haman starts to think, what could I get the king to do for me that would make a big show of me and make it look great that I am a great fella? And he asks for the king to dress the person, and he takes the king's own words, and again, he's playing up to the king. He says, the man in whom you desire to delight in, he says, I would put your royal robes on him. And he says, I would put him on your horse, because as he would be riding through the city, everybody would recognize the king's horse. The king would have rode through that city many times, and it would have been a fine horse. It would have been the best horse in the land, and everybody would have recognized it. They would have recognized the king's robe, and he says, and put the royal crown on his head. And then, not only that, he wasn't content with that, but he says, get one of your princes to take the horse and parade it through the town and cry out to the people. This is what the king does to the person that he delights in. And you can just imagine Haman as he's saying all this. He's full of glee, he's full of pride. He's thinking this is all going to happen to him. And then the king turns around and says, that's a great idea, he says. Go and get all that, get my apparel, get my horse. Go and get Mordecai the Jew who's at the gate and put him on my horse. And Haman, you parade him through the town. Just imagine the smack in the teeth that was. The grin would have soon went off him. There's a saying that we have here, what goes round comes round. And you know, for Haman, that was true. He was getting his comeuppances. And sometimes we think, well, that's justice. And you think, well, he's getting what he deserves. And he's getting just what he has worked for, because really, the things that he done was wrong. The things that he plotted was wrong. But with Mordecai, you don't see any of that in Mordecai. And that's why I believe Mordecai is a man of God. Because Mordecai isn't out to exact revenge. You don't read that Mordecai strutted himself on that horse through the streets and said, Haman's not the big fella now, he's not so great now. Do you see, whenever all of this was done and Haman had paraded Mordecai through the streets, it says Mordecai went back to the king's gate. And that tells me it didn't go to his head. And you know, whenever we get promotion, whenever God promotes us or gives us a position of authority, we need to make sure it doesn't go to our heads. And I've seen great men of God wrecked because the power has went to their heads. When they get promotion, when something happens in their lives to exalt them to a position of power, they just completely lose it. Because they start looking at themselves instead of thanking God and looking to God who has provided. Pastor Mike said this morning about when God pours wealth upon us, we can get to a position in our lives where when we get to a certain stage that we think we're self-made. There's none of us self-made. It's God who makes us. It is God who blesses us. It is God who gives us our provision. And every one of us need to realize that there's none of us self-sufficient. Our reliance has to be on God. Our provision is from God. And it is God that we need to be relying on a daily basis. And Mordecai comes and he sits again at the king's gate. Doesn't say, that's it. I've had enough of sitting at the king's gate. The king wants to honor me. I ain't going into the palace here to see the king. I ain't going to receive all this blessing. No, he waits patiently. You see as we go through the story that the blessings come. But he waits on God. And again, that reminds me that we don't rush ahead of God. God's timing's perfect. God's timing is just exactly right. It may be a minute to midnight. It may be a second to midnight. But it'll always be the perfect timing. It's never too late. And God always shows up on time. Mordecai knew that. Mordecai trusted God. Mordecai sat down at the gate. He didn't boast. He didn't start telling people, did you see what happened to me today? Did you see that Egypt Haman, he thought he was the great lad and he had to take me through the town? No, he didn't boast. He just quietly sat down at the gate. You know, one of the greatest things that we can learn as God's people is humility. Keeping ourselves humble before God and before others. Recognizing that Jesus came as the servant king and he calls us to be servants. And every one of us are servants one to the other. The Bible tells us, let no man think of himself more highly than he ought. And we need to serve one another and serve one another in love and keep humble before God. Don't let pride come in and rob you of the things that God has for your life. If God wants to exalt you to a position, allow God to do it in his time. One principle that I have held to all of my Christian life is this: never push open a door. Always wait until God opens the door. Always wait until God allows that thing to happen. And there are times in my life when I desire something to happen quicker than what God is moving. But God always speaks and he prevents me from making those mistakes. And I wait on God and I wait on his timing. And wait because his timing is perfect. And don't think that whenever you haven't been put in a position, you feel that you've earned a position or you've done whatever. As I said earlier, God doesn't forget. God sees what your heart is. God knows what's going on. And when the time's right, God will exalt you to the position that he has for you. Wait patiently on God. Allow the Spirit to move in your life. Be led by the Spirit at all times. Keep humility in your hearts. And any time pride raises its ugly head, stamp on it. Don't let it take over. And I'll share sometime with you again on how pride nearly destroyed me as a young Christian. But thank God, God dealt with it in my life. Pride is sin. Pride goes totally against the Word of God. We need to keep pride at bay, keep ourselves humble, and allow the Spirit to work. God's working in this story in Esther. He's moving in power. He's working all things out behind the scenes, even though at times it doesn't seem like that. And every one of us need to get to a place where we're just trusting God, trusting him for our everyday needs, trusting him for every instance that's happening in our lives, that he's going to move in it and that he's going to work it out for our good. And just trust in God that at the end of it all, we'll have seen his hand on it. We'll have seen him move. And we'll have allowed him to move and not interrupted what the Spirit is doing. Let's pray. Bless you, Lord. Father, we just thank you tonight.